Vancouver! Vancouver! It happened. Yes, it happened. Your team, put the music up, okay? Put the music up. Your team just got a meaningful win. That's something. That's something right there. You're happy. I'm happy. Grady Sass is happy. Nick Bondi's happy. They're all on the show. Yes, they're all on Sipping on a 40. Let's talk about it. Hey, Elias Pettersson. Elias Pettersson. It's fair to say that there is nobody. There's nobody like him in Vancouver Canucks history. Let's be honest. Let's be real. Let's get on with the show. Meaningful win. You got one. Sipping on a 40.
Man, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight in Vancouver, all my real fans.
Yo, 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 what is up, what is up, what is up? Welcome to the first, yes, first meaningful episode of Sipping on a 40. I guess a meaningful episode I can enjoy, because the boys, for the first time in a long time, got a meaningful dub, a play-in win, a playoff win. It is what it is. Kyle Bowen talking to you on the Nucks Misconduct Network. Nick Bondi, host of Power of the Towel, on the show too. And we also have Grady Sass coming up very shortly. Nick Bondi, how you feeling? When you walk up to your car today, or tonight, I'm sorry, you're going to be smiling at that car flag.
Oh, man. The car flag. When I'm driving home after this, the car flag's going to be rustling in the beautiful... nighttime wind of Vancouver.
Oh man.
Knowing that we're tied up in this series and we're back in it firmly, there's gonna be at least two more Canucks playoff games.
Yes.
Playoff / play-in games, whatever the hell you want to call them. And I'm pumped because
you get two more. Maybe that's
I get two more, but at the same time, the Canucks played a pretty good game tonight. The score I think is a bit misleading because I think the Vancouver Canucks were fairly dominant. Or had a very good game from start to about 58, 59, whenever Fiala scored that 4-2 goal.
I do believe that this team still has a lot to prove here. I don't think they've played close to their best game, but it was just really easy to be a lot better than they were last game.
And it's easier to be better than four shots in the third period.
Exactly. And you know,
the bar is low at that point.
You know, they did kind of fumble it at the end, but I'm saying this and I stand by it. That is what happens when you have to play Jay Beagle and Brandon Sutter a lot.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Those are just two similar hockey players not doing a whole bunch, playing a lot of minutes.
Yeah, and we get into this with Grady Sass when we have him on, but yeah, that second power play unit, like we talked about it at the time. Man. That second play, it's just a random hodgepodge of forwards that Travis Green puts together, and they have zero chemistry. It's when you have that second power play unit out there, you're just waiting for the first power play unit to get back out there.
Like, you know
they're not doing anything.
Dude, I took a shit.
Exactly.
When I saw the PP switch up, I went to the bathroom.
Exactly. Like, what do you? You're not gonna miss anything.
No, straight up. But again, it comes down to who this team has at their arsenal, and when they lose someone like a Tyler Toffoli. And they load up a first unit, you are not expecting much in the second unit. And again, we get into this with Grady Sass. He mentions one player who was not in the lineup who would make a difference on that second unit, Adam Gaudette. Who knows if he gets in? Because in this game, we saw Michael Ferland go down. Get well soon. Get well soon, Michael Ferland. Hey, Antoine Roussel gets a Jake Virtanen slap shot that was tipped right to the dome. You get well soon, too. It was not a good day in the injury department. It was a really bad day because, once again, when these guys start going down, Louis playing more, Sutter's playing more, and Beagle's playing more, and when you have all three of those guys in your lineup and these games actually matter, that is a scary thing. That being said, why not, if that is the case, why not play the fuck out of your top guys? And we saw a lot of them today, but I'm talking about even more of Pettersson, Miller, who was great, Besser, Horvat, just ride these dudes and get these guys to play a lot of minutes.
And that's going
to
be, I think, the strategy going forward for Travis Green is you have to ride your top guns to victory. And you didn't even mention Tyler. Did you mention Tyler Toffoli?
I did, but he's not in. I said,
and
he's
you
out.
Know, friend of the network, Matt Sicaris, reporting that Tyler Toffoli was seen in a walking boot, and that could be a long term thing. I'm going to believe Matt Sicaris' reporting. All he said was he was seen in a walking boot. No one knows.
Who knows if he was trying walking boots on for someone in his family? Yeah, who knows? Exactly. He's got the best doctors.
Maybe it was one of those fancy Gucci walking boots. That is, you know, it's a fashion thing.
Yeah, who knows? We don't know. An off-white walking boot? We don't know. And that's because there's no independent media at this damn thing. We don't really know a lot about what's going on. But I know a lot of people are hating on it, and I get it. The way the Twitter cycle works, especially in the hockey world, the fans want to know everything at that particular moment, even though it doesn't matter. But let's be honest. If you find out what the lineup is at 11 o'clock and 6:59, it doesn't make a fucking difference in how the game's going down.
Yeah.
But fans want to know.
Unless you're in media and you need, you know, talking points to talk about for your four-hour radio show, you're not too worried about it. You'll find when you did it make any difference to us two if we found out the lines at 2 o'clock or 7:30?
Bro, I was chilling with the homies.
I'll worry about the lines when I see the lines, and maybe that kind of attitude is why we are where we are.
I know.
And in the Canucks podcast universe. But it's the truth. The only people who are super worried about these lines are the people who full-time cover this team and need stuff to talk about.
I know.
Because when you go on your show tomorrow, you're just speculating. And that's not nearly as fun as saying today.
It's fun.
But it's not nearly as incisive as saying today in practice, Tyler Toffoli was playing with so-and-so or was not playing, right?
I know. I guess in my life, in the way I do, you know, my life, I just don't need it. And I've never really needed it.
No, people like us don't need it.
It is what it is. Because, again, it's not going to make that much of a difference. And also, at the same time, people, there's hockey on all day and there's basketball all day. There's stuff to watch. Yeah.
This has been gambler's paradise those last few days.
Stuff to talk about. I'm guaranteed these fucking sports broadcasters who are living the dream, having the best jobs in the world, can find out things to talk about during this time where, again, a lot is actually on television in the entertainment world. Look, we'll get to Grady Sass right now, and afterwards we'll have a brief conversation about Pettersson. You know, me and you will talk about Pettersson alone, and then we'll also talk about Ferland. You know, we ended the show off with Ferland talking about the fight and whatnot, and we don't know what happened with Ferland today. He only played 2 minutes, and he was never to be seen again. We just want the best for him. We'll get into it more after this conversation with Grady Sass. Hey, you're going to enjoy this. Thanks so much. Much love. You're listening. Yes, you're listening to Sippin' on a 40. Okay. Back on Sippin' on a 40. Nick Bondi, Kyle Bowen talking to Grady Sass. What's up, man? What's up? How's it going?
Good, boys. How are you guys doing?
Very, very well. You know, great dub tonight. Great team victory for the most part. Like, I think the easy lineup change, I think most people were saying, was put the Lotto line back together after game one, right? They were such a good line throughout the regular season, and they delivered tonight. Like, they were amazing. They were dominating the whole game. They were just amazing.
Absolutely, especially on the power play too. You know, and they're almost going to have to, after that horrific game one they had, I mean, they had to combine five shots between the top two lines. You almost just knew that they were going to bounce back. And I'd say they did that and some tonight. I mean, you know, even with a guy like Pettersson, watching him getting bumps all night and starting to throw it back, like a pissed off Petey, you know, Horvat being the captain and all, he wasn't going to lay an egg for the second game. And Besser looks good. Like, he's moving out there. He's confident with the puck. He's got like a bit of an extra step. And, you know, of course, Louis and Pearson, I mean, here's Louis Erickson kind of thrust into this last-minute lineup change, and he pays dividends on the first goal with that, setting that little pick on Ryan Suter. I mean, how many seconds into the game, and he's already making a difference. So, yeah, it was a good team win tonight. Obviously, the top six stepped up. I thought the penalty kill was pretty awesome until, you know, kind of the end there. Was there a power play at the end there? I don't even remember.
I don't really think so. It just kind of felt like one.
Yeah
they were in the zone for 3 minutes.
They were like boxing them out. Yeah, they pulled the goalie. That's right. I thought they were really strong with their sticks and their boxing out and their kind of gap control tonight. Markstrom was seeing the puck really well. I didn't think he was really that tested all that much, but, you know, at the end there, they kind of started to turn it on. And it's not like he was bad the first game, but sometimes, you know, he was always prone to that one soft kind of stinker goal. A lot of pucks you saw would go through him. That happened in game one. Again, he wasn't that bad, but tonight too, I just felt that he was gonna bounce back. And that's what the playoffs are about, right? It's about adjusting, and coming out and putting that first game behind you or whatever and moving on to the next one. So we got a series. No, excited.
Straight up. We have a series here, 1-1 now. And just on Markstrom, I mean, I didn't really like the first goal a lot, but there was moments there in the second period where he was coming up huge, rebound control as well, and just big saves in general. And it is time for their star guys to kind of get the victories. Like, Markstrom's done a lot for this team all throughout the season, and right now in this moment, especially with multiple players going down, including Tyler Toffoli prior to the game, this is when Petey, Miller, Besser, Horvat, it's going to be pretty much all on them. I mean, we saw this team, you know, let in two goals in the third period, late in the third, blah, blah, blah. Yo, a lot of Jay Beagle and Brandon Sutter towards the end of the game.
Oh, I know. And, I know, man. So redundant having them both in the lineup. It drives me nuts. They are pretty much the same player. Sure, Sutter's got a bit of a better shot and is probably slightly more offensively inclined. But at the same time, Gaudette was probably the worst player in game one. So I understand where Greaves come from. Like, let's still remember, Gaudette's pretty young and Green really trusts his veterans. So I can see the logic there, but you're going back to just kind of like the overall team game. Like, you look like a guy like Vertanen tonight, all of a sudden Stell goes down and we don't know what really happened to Ferland. Well, in game three, you know, now all of a sudden all these guys who are kind of on the outside and start looking in, they're going to be stepping up into your lineup. Now they're going to be a chance to even shine further. I thought Jake was good tonight. That one play on when Myers turned over the puck and he angled him off using his speed. Like, I was hanging up Twitter on people. Not many players on the Canucks can get back at that hustle. And hey, if they score there, that's a 3-2 game. And that could have, you know, as we saw at the end, that would have changed things. So it's funny, just little plays like that. You know, he's utilizing his speed, and that goes a long way with your teammates. Like, coming back to the bench, guys are going to be stick tapping him and giving him a good job. So happy for him. Another guy, Stetcher, tonight, I thought he was feisty in Fiala's face. Like, he's stepping up. Overall, it was just, a really strong, solid team effort. You still want to see that bottom six and some of those guys, Mott, Beal, and Sutter, maybe either get out of their lineup or start actually contributing other than when it's on the PK. I mean, a 5-on-5, it drives me nuts, man. But they're thought of like these defensively inclined, like solid veterans you're supposed to win with in the postseason. And so far it's been a liability. Like, the young guys are, and you're seeing this all around in the playoffs too. It's a young man's game. And more and more, I mean, like Montreal, their first game, their first two goals of the playoffs are scored by Kotkaniemi and Suzuki. So just goes to show you that you know all the supposed veteran leadership, especially in this year, right, where it's such a crazy wild tournament where so many teams could, you know, surprise people. You never know who's going to step up, and it's just who wants it and who's going to pounce the most. So
yeah, and that Jake Virtanen play you talked about, that was shades of Jeff Tambellini in the 2011 playoffs, just skating all the way back.
I know Kyle hates 2011 talk on the program. It's my show. Nick, I'm going to mute you. Nick gets muted for 20 seconds here. No, great point with Jed.
Jeff Tambellini would have never been on PP2, though. How about that? Can we talk about that PP2 for a sec?
I've seen
guys like Sutter and Ferland and Roussel out there. I'm wondering.
It's just a random mix of players
these guys had. I know, and they can't even gain the zone. They're turning the puck over. You could tell, like, their plays off the boards and whatnot. Their cycling game was atrocious. Like, Minnesota's PK was fantastic, and they're especially at pressuring the line.
But I don't know what to do.
Like, where did Green throw all these guys' names in a hat and just say, okay, this is my PP2 unit?
That's what it seems like.
But what else is he going to do?
There's not really the depth there. You're right.
But at least a guy like Louis Erickson, you can kind of trust him more. Like, Ferland's still kind of getting back to game speed. I mean, I guess you could almost say that too with Erickson. Like, he's been off, but he did start to get time near the end there. But
man.
Louis doesn't want to be.
It shows you, like, without Adam Gaudette.
Yes,
he's been a good staple on that second PP unit with Jake. Like, they started to the second half of the season. They are actually. I looked at some of their metrics. I can't remember exactly, but they definitely stood out in terms of production. So it's gonna be interesting to see. Do you think they get a Green's gonna go back to the same lineup as tonight?
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't want to mess with whatever.
Yeah, he seems like an old school coach like that.
Well, he's gonna be forced to make some changes if Roussel's hurt. Which right. Maybe just a cut. Who knows? And then you have Ferland going down. And if he misses the entire game, which he did, you don't know. And if it's the whole game, I'm pretty sure that with the team winning without him, there's room for McEwen now to come into the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see him. And sorry, can we just talk quickly about Tyler Myers? And I was talking to Kyle Bowen about this. It seems like Tyler Myers, he has one of the longest reaches in the NHL, one of the tallest players, but he always seems to be out of position for passes.
Yo, lady, size doesn't always matter.
Yeah, they're always super in front of him, or he can't handle passes. Like Tyler Myers tonight was just absolutely terrible.
No, 100%.
He always seems he's like a half step behind and chasing the play. And you think a guy with that long of a stick out there would know better with his gap control and reading the play, like the goal that Kunin scored, right? When he just kind of didn't even see, like, I'm wondering, like, does your peripheral vision not pick him up, or you just tunnel visioned on the play as a defenseman, like, knowing that you are, yes, it's a power play, but you still got to be assertive enough. It just, I like Myers. I don't like Myers, but I don't mind the fact if you can find him kind of like the fair.
This guy compared him to Dion Phaneuf. And I'll be honest, Grady, because I'm an honest person, honest podcast host of Sipping on a 40 Nux Misconduct Network. You actually cut out for most of that answer. And then we heard some hard-hitting analysis right towards the end of that. And we got to cut that out. I'm sorry, but it is what it is. That is why we have Grady on the show, though.
Absolutely. Hard-hitting analysis.
On the 15th
it's
biggest.
The poor Ontario internet connection.
There you go.
I'll be back in Vancouver soon enough.
Hey, there you go. Hey, it's going to be great to have you back. Two more questions here on Sipping on a 40, the post-game show, playoff edition. Elias Pettersson, okay? He's obviously the strongest competitor on this team. I've been saying it all year. You know, for that brief window, that brief Twitter window when it was 10 minutes long where there was a chance that Horvat maybe wasn't the captain and it was Pettersson. It was because of this, you know, this competitive nature that Pettersson showed in his rookie season. And now we're seeing it in game two in the playoffs. Is it scaring you at all that he's doing a little bit too much physically? Because without Ferland, without Roussel, like, he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to stand up for himself.
Yeah. No, it doesn't, because I think that's only going to add to his game and make him even a better player than he is. You're already seeing it defensively. Like, he's a monster. He's coming back on the back checks, down in the corners, whether it's his cycling or protecting the puck. Like, he's doing those reverse hits a lot. One guy, and it's a bit of a crazy comparison probably because he's still so young, but Peter Forsberg was very good at that. You know, a fellow Swede right there. He was very good at protecting the puck down low. And you know, he was a guy that you didn't want to piss off and get and, you know, may anger him to the point where he's going to make you pay for it. I think you saw that with Ryan Hartman tonight.
Yes.
There at the end, we gave him that shot, right? I mean, whether it's the death stares or with the media, like, this guy is serious and he's about business. He's a winner. I mean, I can see the case. You know, you could make the case for Pettersson being a future, at least an A. You know, I'm sure you could make it one day for a captain, depending on what happens with Bo, but down the line. But he's a winner. He's driven, man. This is, again, this is the elite talent the Canucks have needed since the days of the Sedins and, you know, Kessler's defensive acumen and whatnot, right? So, I think he's really going to become a complete two-way star. I wouldn't even be surprised if he one day wins a Selkie. I think he can be that good.
Me too.
You know, you don't often see the offensive guys win a Selkie per se. It's usually the Bergerons, you know, the O'Reilly types and Mike Richards and Datsyuk. But, you know, who knows? The sky's the limit for his
sky's kid. The limit.
He's a special talent.
No, 100%. Sky's the limit for Elias Pettersson. And just think about what it does for that entire lineup when your best player, who doesn't have to be the most physical player, is being the most physical
shows
player.
Shows up and leads by example, right?
Dude, 100%.
That's what PD is.
It's like Nick Bondi on Power of the Towel, just leading by example, leading the Nuggets Network by example. Okay, one more question. Yes, one more question for Grady Sass. Yo, it's a very important question.
You're the Quinn Hughes to Pettersson.
There we go. That's so nice of this guy. Yo, this guy's the nicest dude in the world, bro. Come back to Vancouver. Our people need you, okay? One last question. Get the music going in the back. Put it down a bit. Okay, Grady, how are you celebrating the first meaningful Canuck win in years? This is awesome.
Well, so right before I came on with you guys, I'm at a buddy's house right now. They had a 2-4 of Molson Canadian.
Nice. Woo!
And you know what? You started getting into it. I'm where did I put my beer? He's got a big house. I'm like, oh, is it in the bathroom? Here's, I'll just grab another one. So then I find my old one. So I've got two going on, and my buddy walks by as I'm about to go, and I accidentally like try to move out of his way, and I kicked one beer over, so I spilled it all over the carpet. So now, I'm drinking the rest of that.
Oh, yeah,
double fisted.
Oh, nice. Yeah, put the music up. This guy's double fisting. Yo, after one win, Grady Sass is double fisting the first meaningful Canuck win in a long time, man.
1,930 days, as per Rob the Hockey Guy. Shout out, Rob.
Friend of the show.
There you go. Friend of the show, there friend of the network. Hey, Grady, you may be the best friend of the network.
I think so. I think he's moving up the power rankings.
Holy moly. Hey, thanks so much. Thanks so much. You're on the East. It's late
no
for you.
Problem, boys.
I know you said you're a night owl. But, hey,
what time is it? 1:53.
Oh, man. We really do appreciate this.
Like I said, I'm a night owl. I'm up till 2:33 every night anyways. It's all okay. Good.
Perfect. Awesome. Crush a few more Molsons for us.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Great.
I will, fellas. All right. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. No problem. Hey, thank you. Okay. Much love. Yeah, that's Grady Sass. Sipping on a 40. We'll be right back. You're back on Sipping on a 40. Thank you so much, Grady Sass, for hopping on. That was fun, man. That was fun. Hey. The way he ended that episode, and I wish I asked the question off the top, mm-hmm. the last question. Sometimes things don't go your way, though. This guy wanted to talk hockey right away. I wasn't going to cut the man off.
Very professional. He was straight into it.
He was straight into the game. Okay, the analytics, the way the game was going, the players involved. But man, the way he ended things off in that conversation, he is getting drunk tonight, bro.
Oh, he's having a good time.
Yo, he's Canucks, getting so hammered.
Canucks got the dub, double fist and Molsons.
Double fisting Molson. Is that not the most Canadian? Is that not the most after your Canadian hockey team won a game moment in life? You're double fisting a fucking Molson Canadian on a Tuesday.
You're feeling good about yourself. You want to have a few more drinks? I'm going to have a few more drinks when I get home.
I love it. I love it.
I don't know if I have any beer. I think I just have White Claw, but
there you go.
Sort of the same thing. I'll double fist. You know what? In honor of Grady Sass. Double fist and Molson's. I will double fist White Claws tonight.
When you get home at around 11:30, you're gonna be doing that. That's what a meaningful win can do, I guess. This is new territory, okay, for people who don't know. I've been saying this for a long time. Post 2011, the love for the Vancouver Canucks, it just felt weird, and that was kind of odd because the Canucks were such a big part of my life for about 9 years. Even when they made the playoffs against Calgary, don't get me wrong, the game still mattered, and I felt the nerves, but it was different, maybe because there were still so many pieces from that 2011 team on that team. This is new.
New
this
core, different. New
this
team.
This is transition, and we just saw them win their first meaningful game, due in large part, and I know he only had one assist. Elias Pettersson, again, he sets the tone for this whole organization for a decade plus. I stand by that, because when your best player, and based on this only being a second year, he's probably already the second most talented Canuck to ever play on this roster, in my opinion. It's Pavel Bure, it's Elias Pettersson. Individually, they're just remarkable talents. Yeah. Remarkable talents, once in a generation type player for a franchise. They got him. He's the hardest worker, the most talented. It sets the tone. Pettersson, what did he do for you today?
He was awesome. He was him and that Lotto line really, really stirred this. What am I trying to say? They were just fucking ballers. They were just fucking ballers.
They were ballers.
And look, I think that hit on Hartman late in the game showed that Petey's not going to take any shit. He's not going to. You know, what was, from some fans, one of the big criticisms of the Sedins, especially during the playoffs, was they're too timid.
Say it, timid.
Timid. They didn't push back.
Pettersson
right?
is not taking.
And he's not. And I think Pettersson's proof tonight. He's not going to be like that. He is not going to turn the other cheek and try and score in power play. If someone's taking cheap shots, trying to run at him, which Minnesota's done for two games now.
Yeah.
It's 100%. Clear the strategy for Minnesota is...
Rattle him.
Rattle him. Be aggressive on him. Take away his time and space. And he's not having any of it. Balled out tonight. And you know who else? You know who the Canucks need to do that? Against Wild? Kevin Fiala.
Yeah, you've been saying it.
I've been saying it since... I've been like on my soapbox for 6 days now that Cameron Fiala is the only Minnesota Wild forward that we as Canucks fans should be scared about.
Who is this dude? From Switzerland? He's
a baller.
Think
about this. Back in 2017, Fiala was a member of the Nashville Predators. He plays 5 games, gets 2 goals, I think, then gets injured. What do you think? Maybe Nashville wins a Stanley Cup if Kevin Fiala is in the lineup. Like,
damn,
he was.
You're gonna get a jersey. I feel as if you would get a Switzerland Kevin Fiala jersey. That would be a cop. Great player, great talent.
He's a great, like, hey, Paul Fenn. You've clowned Paul Fenn on your show a bunch. Hey, maybe his one good trade as member of the Minnesota Wild executive team is getting Kevin Fiala out of Nashville for Marcus Granlund.
Okay, you know what? You said something that really stood out there, and we'll end the PD talk with this. Okay, Brad Marchand can punch Henrik and Daniel in the face, and nothing will happen to him by those players he's punching in the face. If Marchand punches Pettersson in the face, whatever that means, whatever this means, I don't know what I'm about to say. I don't know what it means, but Pettersson's punching him back.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
He's doing that. And there was even a play before the punch to Hartman where Pettersson went into the corner on a power play against Suter and hit him, really tried to hit him hard. This guy is mean-spirited. Grady said he reminds him of Forsberg, which I've said too. And I also said this. We don't get to watch a lot of him, but he is cheeky, dirty, cheeky, aggressive, and that's Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah. He they're similar in the way that they're not going to take any shit.
They don't take shit.
They're going to stand up for themselves, and I think that's a breath of fresh air for Canucks fans who, as much as we love the Sedins, hey, yeah, we all remember Brad Marchand, you know, speedbagging. Henrik and Daniels, Henrik Sedin, or Daniel Sedin, whichever one it was.
What's sandbagging?
Sandbag, that's like a golf term. I'm thinking like speedbagging's like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, boom, 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 yeah, boom, boom. I think I got some punches right here. I think I got some punches on this board. Do I? Let's see. Pettersson's not taking that.
No, he's not. He's giving it back.
This is Henrik. He gets punched, nothing happens. That's Pettersson.
That's Pettersson.
There you go. There you go. Sipping on a 40. About to end. But we're going to have to talk about Michael Ferland before we do so. I know we had this conversation on the last episode. We said we had respect for Ferland dropping the gloves and that everyone on that team probably, you know, looked up to him when he was doing that because of how much he was sacrificing for the Vancouver Canucks. For the Vancouver Canucks. Now that he plays only 2 minutes, and again, we don't know what the injury is. They've been mysterious with this dude the whole time. We find out every time what really happened right before he returns, right before he's allowed to talk to the media again. I really hope it's not another concussion, but if it is, life, man. Life is, I don't know. It's, the hockey is such a fast game, and if it's that fragile with how things can change for you just like that, man, it's just hockey.
Yeah, and like you mentioned with Michael Ferland, I think he did gain a lot of respect in that room. And hey, this is me just speculating.
In this
here.
Room, he gained a lot of respect too.
Absolutely. Like, when we all know, everyone knows how much concussion history Michael Ferland has, and I'm sure the players know a lot more than we do about how Michael Ferland's battled back. 100%. Hey, well, I wish him the best. If it is concussion related, that's very unfortunate. And yeah, I hope it's not head related.
I hope
it
isn't. I hope it isn't. But it's just what I'm just connecting these invisible dots, these make believe dots, and it just looks like that. It's just so mysterious. What happened? When someone gets hurt,
you see
what happened, and this seems odd, and
he took like one shift, I think, in the second period, and then he left the bench and didn't come back.
It seems scary. It really does. Such a fierce competitor. You know, everyone does know his concussion history, and now everyone really, really knows. They really, really know how much he loves not only his teammates but the game of hockey. He loves it. He loves it more than anyone. It's get well soon. It's get well soon. Absolutely. Hope we're wrong. I hope we just wasted 4 minutes there.
Same.
I hope we wasted 4 minutes there talking about nonsense because the dude, you know, pulled something, but he's good to go. You know what I'm saying? Straight up, straight up, straight up. Woo! That was Sipping on a 40. My name Kyle Bowen. That's Nick Bondi. Get the Nux Misconduct Network. 4 shows coming at you. One swipe, one tap to the network wherever you do your listening. You just made your hockey life a little bit better. That easy, okay? Shout out to Grady Sass for hopping on. I hope you don't have a hangover.
I won't.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Grady Sass, okay? Grady Sass is on top of the list now. It used to be Begsy, Bondy, and whomever. Now it's Grady, Bondy, Begsy. Begsy's gonna have to go number three.
Yeah.
You got Eddie Lack on our network.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, go check out that interview. Power of the Towel, Eddie Lack, Nick Bondy. Have a conversation. You'll enjoy it. The Canucks, they don't play till Thursday. Early game. I know a lot of people are mad. Yeah. It is what it is.
A day drinking game.
Who cares? Enjoy it. It's 2020. Take what you can get without complaining too much, okay? Okay. My name is Kyle Bowen, KYLEBHAWAN. Have a good morning, a good afternoon, a good night. We don't know when you're listening to this, but we appreciate it. Peace.